we interviewed many of our high school graduates, asking them the question, how have you grown in the Lord since being here at First Press? And here's what they had to say.
On other world religions, and that was really challenging to learn about them and compare them to my own, and it helped me grow because I could compare it to my own faith. On other world religions, and that was really challenging to learn about them and compare them to my own, and it helped me grow because I could compare it to my own faith as a Christian, and it made me stronger in that and be able to discern truths from comparing those other religions. Being intentional about my faith, it's been pretty accessible for me in Fresno, and being at First Press, there's so many activities I can go to, but I'm excited about being intentional and making my faith my own.
First Press has been that.
Relationships I've made at First Press, the fellowship has really, or the fellowship with people my age and people older than me, younger than me, has really helped me make my faith my own and help me grow in it spiritually.
So,
be able to talk to other people about their faith or talk to friends about their faith, and I've grown in a relationship with the church and have been able to serve at different weddings and different events at the church, and I think I've grown spiritually and learning how to serve others.
Definitely being in the youth group and just being with those guys since I was like just growing up and going on trips with them has definitely brought me closer to God, and just the friendships that I've made throughout all the years.
First Press has helped me not just to grow within myself, but to grow in fellowship with other people.
I grew up coming here, and I think they've been a solid counselors and great support and just answering all the questions I had. Being here, not
There we go. thank you. Ryan Dole put that video together, and just want to thank him for that. I've asked four high school graduates to share with us a little more, answering the question, how have you grown in the Lord since being here at First Press? And in an order, we'll have Annie Deffelbach, Caleb Goodell, Emily Alkire, and Zach Dolan. So come on up.
Hi, I'm Annie. I've been going to First Press since I was in diapers, just like Emily and Caleb. And this church has molded me as a Christian and an overall person, and I could not be more thankful to the church community for helping me grow in the Lord all these years. I have grown immensely by experiencing deep spiritual lessons. At other youth groups, it seems like the lessons are mostly on the surface, but here we delve deeper into God's Word. We transition from learning about God's gracious and loving characteristics to also learning to fear Him. The advisors constantly challenge us to think harder and attempt to answer the more difficult questions we face in our faith. For example, and I talked about it a little bit in the video, but we did a few units on world religions, and that was very challenging and enlightening to study those other religions and make connections to our own faith. And I gleaned from that study a stronger confidence in my faith after comparing our religion to others. Another example of deep spiritual lessons is how we just finished a study of Revelation. Revelation has the reputation of being perplexing and tough to tackle. Each week, the advisors prepared intriguing lessons that brought us to a higher standard of biblical understanding. They expected us to maturely and diligently conquer the material, and it made us all rise to the occasion. I think the most growth comes from being challenged, and the youth group here has definitely supplied us with the opportunity to ask questions and think deeply to result in spiritual progress. In addition to growing in my faith, I have grown to become a more sensitive and compassionate person here. The First Press youth groups have provided countless opportunities to serve in our downtown community. It is easy in the Fresno and Clovis areas to live in a bubble where we don't seek out opportunities to experience our community from the perspective of others who may come from different backgrounds. For example, in middle school, I had the opportunity to help clean up the playground down the street that was heavily graffitied. I remembered realizing as a 12-year-old that not everyone in Fresno has the same experiences as me, and I must do my best to empathize and reach out to others. Exposure to the difficult circumstances that much of our community faces on a daily basis filled me with sensitivity and awareness from a young age and instilled in me a servant's heart that I plan to continue and further develop in my adult years. I'm still surprised at how many of my peers at school do not serve because my involvement at First Press has ingrained that in me. After graduating high school next week, I will attend UCLA and major in microbiology, immunology, and molecular genetics. I understand that at a large and non-Christian university, I will be faced with much opposition to my faith. Especially since I am a science major, I will likely come in contact with people who will denounce God's truth. I feel that First Press has built in me a firm Christian foundation that will help me to resist secular influences. A perfect example of how First Press has prepared me for college life is the video series we studied in Sunday school earlier this semester. It explored the hard questions relating God and science and gave true evidence of how they beautifully coexist. This was especially helpful for me because what I learned from that study will likely be applicable when I meet fellow science lovers who do not know God. The strong sense of community here at First Press has also shown me that I need to be intentional about finding a new community when I get to college. It is so important to surround yourself with those who will encourage you and keep you accountable, and I have every intention of finding a group like that at UCLA. I will definitely miss my First Press family, but I am so grateful to the impact it has made on my life and my walk with Christ. Thank you.
My name is Caleb Goodell, and growing up here at First Press, I just wanted to say thank you to the opportunities they've given me throughout the years. So I want to say thank you to the Awana program and the Awana quizzing and games I had the opportunity to partake in. Just being that weekly devotion, growing up, you as a kid, you don't always get a book that has that weekly study and those verses to memorize, and it's just a great opportunity to not only fellowship with the people I've grown up with here, but also just dive into God's Word and have those verses stick with you for the rest of your life. I want to say thank you to the junior high ministries and the opportunity I had to do spring break trips and outreaches at that young of an age. I think through junior high, even a lot of kids also don't go out of town or even around their neighborhoods. So I want to say thank you for giving me that opportunity, as well as high school ministries and the involvement with Students International. As a high schooler, I had the opportunity to go to, as a junior higher, I had the opportunity to go to Russia for 2 weeks to serve with my father and brother and the Hoppers. That was just not a normal thing as a, I think, 12-year-old, 13-year-old. And then just past last summer, having the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. So I want to say thank you for giving me the knowledge of a different culture and the struggles that people have across the world that we don't see and don't get to experience here in Fresno or the U.S. I want to say thank you for giving us kids the opportunity to become a member of the church. I think that's not something a lot of churches make a big deal of, but you guys do. And you guys say that we are important, and it's not just the elders of the church that get to make those decisions. We get to be involved in that, and I think that's huge. I want to say thank you to the Wednesday night Bible studies and the advisors that commit their time and their effort into teaching us. You guys have no idea how much you guys impact our lives, and without you guys and the guidance and leadership that you show us, my life, and I know the people around me, my friends, our lives would not be the same. And I want to say thank you to Craig for his patience with me and my friends and the several phone calls he's had to make for apologies and just thank you. Thank you.
My name is Emily Alkire, and during my time here at First Press, I would definitely say that I've grown a lot in my faith. I've been going to First Press since I was born. So, in fact, my parents were actually married in this church. So First Press definitely holds much significance in my life. I would say the number one thing that has helped me grow in my faith at First Press is the amazing support and community that our church provides. The aspect of community was shown greatly when I was just six years old and my dad passed away. So many people from First Press immediately came to support my family and help us through that difficult time. And it just really helped me truly see the body of Christ in action. And I'll never forget how amazing that was to have people constantly praying for us and helping us with anything we needed. The First Press community definitely shaped me through that hard time, and I was able to see the true definition of a disciple exemplified within many different people at our church. The outpouring love I received at the time was unbelievable, and it has been even more amazing to see how many people still care for my family and check up on my family even after all these years. So that's definitely something I'm thankful for here at First Press. Along with the aspect of community, First Press has helped me grow in my faith through intergenerational communication and involvement. So throughout my many years here, I have for the most part been connected within the youth programs, Awana and youth group and Sunday school and all that stuff. But I think at our church, I've also had the opportunity to connect with people much older than me and much younger than me, and a lot of other churches don't do that. It's kind of just like stick to your own age group. You don't really know anyone way older than you, or you don't get involved with the younger youth programs. So I think First Press has done a really good job with providing just different Bible studies or Sunday school lessons and the networker program so that me and my family were able to make connections with people who were just at a different phase in life than us. And it helped us, you know, get advice from them. And I've made so many different connections through people that I never thought I would. So that's been really amazing. And having this wide variety of communication challenged me to dig deeper into my faith, but also keep a childlike perspective on my faith. So another thing that has greatly influenced my faith is the content here at First Press. I've gone to a lot of other churches or visited different services or youth groups, and First Press has always been just so intentional, and they really just dig deep into Scripture, and we don't just do the surface level thinking. We just really dive into the Scripture and study it, and that's thanks to the amazing leaders and pastors and advisors that I've had in youth group. So yeah, we just don't always talk about the positives of Christianity. I know a lot of other churches kind of just touch on that and like, yeah, it's so great to be a Christian, but we also talk about the hard stuff and how to cope with suffering and, you know, in a world where being a Christian isn't really the norm. So I was always challenged at First Press to go deeper into Scripture or to think of things from a theological perspective that helped me truly understand the Bible. So next year I'll be going very far away to Illinois, and I think that First Press has just done a really great job at preparing me to go off, and I'll definitely strive to find a community there because I have just loved my community here at First Press.
Hi, my name's Zach. I have tried to shut God out many times. First Press has kept that door open to God in my life through constant community and opportunities to grow. I grew up as a Sunday school kid learning all about God. I was involved in Sunday school, Awana, junior high, high school, and these were the places where I learned much of what I know today. Those ministries and that community helped keep the door open in my life to God, for God to grow His relationship with me. Many times, I tried moving away from God to do things on my own. I can remember one night I was laying in my bed. I was tired of all the conviction and just asked God to go away. Ooh. God, having a sense of humor, was probably laughing to himself at my attempt to get him to go away. However, coming back week after week to learn more about God kept him working in my life. One of the biggest mountains I've been climbing is becoming less of a church kid and more of a son of God. Here's an example of my thought process not so long ago. I used to have this misconception that there was only one right answer and that I had it. Yeah, total Sunday school Christian kid for you. I learned there's more to being a Christian than just being good. It's one thing to know God's word and another to live it. First Press has helped me live out God's calling and spread His word in His community and be more than just a good Christian through some uncomfortable service opportunities. Our trip to the Fresno Rescue Mission is a great example of the opportunities I have been given. We served mostly alongside with men who were in the rescue home, many of them just coming out of homelessness themselves. I learned these once broken and homeless people are just like you and me. I used to see the homeless as trashy drug addicts who chose that lifestyle. Being able to worship with the men in the rescue home was a very positive experience. There was so much humility and yearning for God. It has helped me see the redeeming transformation of God in once broken people. Because of this community at First Press and trips like this, I've learned different ways of worshiping God. I recognize some of the ways we worship is offering praise, serving others, and trying to live a life worthy of this calling I've received. One of the greatest opportunities I have been given was serving as an elementary winter camp counselor at Sugar Pine. And strangely enough, it wasn't actually counseling that grew my relationship the most, although that was an absolute bless. I walked away with the greatest tool I have ever found as a Christian. It was a little booklet, and in that booklet was a 21-day plan to read the 21 chapters found in John. This method was very easy to follow. The speaker called it the 4-1s method. One chapter, one verse, one prayer, and one person. That little booklet was God's way of helping me read His Word daily in a way that works in my life. And I found the hardest and most important part of that method to be the last one. One person. Interestingly enough, sharing what I found in the Bible has been essential to my success in opening the Word every day. And praise God, I have found a friend who studies the Bible with me and keeps me accountable. If it hadn't been for First Press giving me the opportunity to counsel at winter camp, I would not have found that great tool to experience the blessing of God's Word every day. First Press has given me a cornerstone, a community of believers, and opportunities to serve in ministry. I'm very grateful for the amazing opportunities I've been given to grow and serve here. I cannot thank God enough for what He has done in my life through this community and believers. And I can tell you for a fact, I would not know Christ like I know Him today. Thank you.
Thank you, students, for sharing. Well done. Our scripture this morning is Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And Paul, the author of Colossians, is writing to a group of young Christians who were being tempted to add religions to their faith. False teachers were encouraging this church to add rules, practices, and philosophies to their Christian faith so they can experience the fullness of Christ. It is the old idea called syncretism. So Paul writes this letter addressing the issue that Christianity should not be just one of many influences in our lives. Rather, Christ should be the center, the core, the only influence by which we live our lives. It is that Christ is enough. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 10. So let's begin at verse 1. And Paul writes, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What I love about hearing stories like the ones the students just told is that they're about God. They are about God moving in and through them. It is God who takes the initiative and who transforms. And God is not finished with these stories. God continues to move in the lives of these students and in each one of us. It would be a shame if these students and all of those graduating would think that now that they have graduated, they can stop learning. I mean, what if they thought they were all grown up and decided to stop growing? I mean, what if they thought, I'm 18 years old now, I don't have to listen to my mom or dad anymore? When you were younger, somebody probably asked you this one little question. What do you want to be when you grow up? You may have answered like me, that you wanted to be a professional athlete, maybe a rock star, or a doctor, or yeah, even Luke Skywalker from Star Wars. I have worked with youth for many years, and I hear that question asked all the time to students. And they feel pressure to have a plan and know what their college major will be and have it all done in 4 years. But the question totally misguides the purpose of your life. No matter what season of life you find yourself in, what you are doing right now is just as important to God as what you will be doing in the future. Before we grow up, I think we need to grow down. So maybe a better question is not, what do you want to be when you grow up, but how are you going to grow down? How are you going to grow down in depth, firmly and deeply rooted in Christ? When I was a kid, I loved Twinkies. I thought they were one of the greatest achievements of the modern world. I mean, they are a yellowish cake-like dessert with a cream filling loaded with sugar and flavoring and glue-like chemicals. I mean, Twinkies have been described as the icon of junk food snacks and guilty pleasures. Nutritionally worthless, yet irresistibly yummy. And legend says that Twinkies have a shelf life of 30 years and could survive a nuclear attack. I mean, who wouldn't want to eat something like that, right? But you shouldn't start buying tons of Twinkies in preparation for that nuclear explosion. Twinkies will chemically break down, sad to say, after 30 years, and they probably be no match against a nuclear bomb. But in some ways, I think we are tempted to add things to our lives like Twinkies. We think we need them. We think they are crucial to our fulfillment, but actually, they are of zero value. Sometimes we do this because we think it means we are growing up in the Lord. But in reality, our focus is making ourselves look good and not Christ. Growing down moves us away from our self-centered activities and focuses our lives on God's activity around the world. Growing down moves our prayer from being selfish to selfless. It means when we share our faith story, the focus is on God's activity and not our own. It means we have people who have journeyed longer in their walk with Christ speaking into our lives. And we are also speaking in the lives of others. Growing down is falling more in love with Jesus and his truth and not allowing anything to get in between that relationship. We can't add Twinkies to our relationship with Christ. So Paul writes here in verse 4 and 8, to not be deceived with persuasive words or fine-sounding arguments. Don't let anyone persuade you through empty and deceptive philosophy. He is not saying the Christians have already been deceived. But from long experience, he knows that an attack from the enemy can come from a type of teaching, a type of teaching that is so close to the truth that it could make sense, but yet far enough away from the truth to have you be misled. There is no generation that escapes being confronted with the temptation to add false philosophies or Twinkies to our faith. Today's world is full of persuasive commercials that tell us we need to add something into our lives to be better, to gain identity or status, or just be more fulfilled. We let those messages impact our faith. We would like our faith to look just as good, clean, or complex as what we hear in those commercials. And if we don't disciple our children, or if we are not in a community of believers who help us become more like Jesus, our culture will be the one doing the discipling. So how do you confess Christ when everything around you proclaims lordship of something else? Paul writes here in verse 6 and 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See, they have received Christ Jesus as Lord. They have the truth. They know the truth. They have been taught the teachings of Christ from the generations before them. And then Paul says, continue to live in him. This is growing down. Their way of thinking and living should conform to the teachings of Christ. They are to walk in Christ. Everything they do on a daily basis should be in Christ. How can someone actually do this? It can be a reality for those who, according to verse 7, have been rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as they were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See, the word rooted is a once and for all experience. They have received Christ and now are built up in him. But just because they are rooted in Christ doesn't mean they stop growing. Growth is a continual process. Paul is commanding them to keep growing, to keep growing down. Sadly, I think we often mistake growing old for growing up. We often believe real life begins at adulthood. I think we unconsciously believe we are all grown up when we have reached independence or self-dependence. And these are not necessarily horrible. In fact, some are worthy characteristics, such as the importance of learning how to brush your teeth or do laundry or making ratatouille for dinner. But the problem is that these ideas, when mixed together and become the goal, can actually hinder our growth in the Lord. And sometimes we adults say, I've grown up in the church. I've heard this already, or I've already done this. And ever since I started working in youth ministry, I made a conscious decision to always carry around a backpack. Students typically have a backpack with them, and for me, it is a reminder to be a lifelong learner of who God is and who I am in him. I will continue to grow and learn even after my time working here at First Press has ended. I want to grow down. I will never fully arrive at being a Christian. We never graduate from being a Christian. We need to have a heart and mind that is receptive, ready to listen and learn what God wants to teach us. We grow old and hopefully wise by consistently asking for God to open our eyes and our ears to his leading. As a learner of God, we need to know his word in order to recognize the empty and deceptive philosophy. We need to know scripture. Here in these verses, Paul is not writing about intellectual growth. He is warning against the subtle mixing of Christian thought with false philosophy and the effort of mixing other faith systems with the Christian message. But how will we know when other faith systems are being mixed in with the Christian message when we don't even know what the Bible says about God's story and the message of the gospel? May we always be students of God's truth. And Paul is writing to a group of believers, not just one person. We cannot grow down on our own. We need a community to help us. I meet with 6 guys in my neighborhood on Saturday mornings for a book study and prayer. Of course, I have the larger church community, but meeting with these guys is where I really find out who I am and what I believe. And there are times in our discussion when we do not always agree with one another, and that's okay. We have realized, despite the ups and downs in our group, we need each other. And we need each other in order to become more like Christ. And students, for those of you graduating, as you prepare and leave for college, the first thing I want you to do is find a community of believers when you get there. Don't wait to get settled into your new college life or wait for someone to ask you to go to church. Seek it out. I can't stress this enough. Remember, the idea is not that you are growing up, but that you place a high priority on growing down. And maybe some of you here, you've been pretending to grow in the Lord by adding Twinkies to your Christian life, and you need help putting away a life that is self-centered, or you need help putting away a life lived out of fear or pride. Whether you have been sitting in the pews for a long time, or if this is your very first time sitting on one today, maybe you need help putting away the childishness and become more childlike. A childlike faith is simple. It is thankful, full of hope and trust. And maybe today you need to actually begin talking about your faith, or go on a mission trip, or start reading the Bible because you desire to and not out of guilt. Or maybe you need to teach young people about Jesus, or raise your hands while singing praises to God if you feel prompted to do so. Or serve your neighbors or family member, even if it's difficult. We read in the Bible, as the Colossians continue to grow, they are not to forget they are complete in Christ. And having Him is all they need. They are fulfilled by Him. This is the ultimate reality. The complete being of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, they are made whole. They are made whole in Christ and in nothing else. They cannot add anything more to their faith. If you have recognized your sin and have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. You are already loved. You are complete in Christ. Your identity is in Christ and in nothing else. But don't lose focus on growing up when you should be growing down. There's no telling how far you could grow. So the question is not, what do you want to be when you grow up? But what are you going to be when you grow down? My prayer for all of the students who are graduating and for everyone here is that your answer to this question will be something like, I want to be childlike in my faith, or I want to be rooted in Christ, or I want to be a person who is helping fulfill the mission of God, or fill in the blank. What will your answer be? Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Help us to grow down. Help us not to stop growing, but have a heart that is ready to receive from you and follow where you lead. Help us to take risks in our faith in a way that brings you glory and praise. We love you, God, and give you thanks. Amen.
It's our privilege now to invite all of our high school graduates to come forward. And I'd love for them to take this first step. So come on up. And I'd actually like to invite their parents, if they're here. Come on up, guys. You guys lead the way right here in the middle. And if their parents are here, come on up too and stand behind. Right there. And then you guys build right there. Perfect. Perfect. Any parents that are here of our high school graduates, come and you can stand on the second step. There you go. You're tall enough on the first step, Robbie. So invite parents to come and stand behind your son or your daughter. Not all the parents are here at this service, and that's all right. We also are taking time today to celebrate any of our college, anybody who's here celebrating a college graduation. If you're a college graduation person celebrating that today, you can come forward. Or even if you have a postgraduate degree, you can come forward. And way to go, Kayleen, come on up here. And we wanted to celebrate that as well. What a great day, wasn't it, to hear the testimony of these students? Yeah. If you want to stand around and cry with the parents afterwards, you can just come up and give them some hugs and kisses up here. This is an important time, and I think especially for these high school graduates to have parents up here is meaningful because many of you have gone through this before and you know how significant this is as you celebrate what God has done and you look forward to what God will do. And we need to pray as much for these parents as we do for these students as they all go through a transition in this season. So I invite you to join with me in prayer. And then I won't pray too long, so would you just reach out your hands towards these guys. And parents, you can put your hands on the kids in front of you. And let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for every one of these graduates. We are grateful, Lord. Grateful for the way that you have grown them down in Christ. And God, we pray that they would continue to grow down, that they would come to know more and more the incredible and awesome grace that Jesus Christ, who came from the Father full of grace and truth, to give his life for them, to rise from the dead, to lead them forward in his mission, and to help them by the Spirit to become more and more like him, that they would understand that grace is enough for them, and they would grow down deep, that they indeed would be rooted and established in the awesome love and grace of God, and that they would serve you and participate with you in your work. We do pray that you would prepare them, as particularly these high school graduates, as wherever they're going to be next year, that you would get them ready to be a part of a church. Some of them are going to be in here in town, and we pray that they would continue to grow deeper and deeper into the life and body of and ministry of this church. Others will be going off to different states and different cities, And we pray that even now they would begin to prepare, looking for the right body that they would join to participate in your work in those cities and in those states. And God, we pray for their parents. Bless them and encourage them in this season of transition. Remind them to grow down as well, to draw near to you. They've worked so hard to raise their kids. Help them now to raise themselves in you again afresh and draw near to you as they trust their kids even more to you. And thank you, God, that we are a part of a church that works together, not just these parents alone, but the whole community of faith, to raise our kids to know Christ, to grow down in Him, to serve Him, and to be a part of what He's doing in the world. We are grateful, God, for that. Bless also our college graduates and other graduates, Lord. Encourage them. Help them to be good stewards of the education that they've received. And for us as a church, continue, God, to use us to be a church that's raising every generation to grow down in Christ for the sake of your kingdom to come and your will to be done. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite these guys just to stay right here for the benediction. And I want to remind you that in just like 1 minute after the benediction, we are going to have a congregational meeting. And it will be brief because we need to get going to education hour, but invite you members to stick around and we'll have a very brief and effective congregational meeting. Now I invite you to receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.